When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to Crop Metcalf. Do that today. Charles Davis will join us, analyst for the NFL on CBS. He called Steelers Commanders this past weekend, so it'll be good to talk to him. But right now, it's time to hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day? Just in case, sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies, you get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
Hmm. I just saw the Cakes beat me in the Johnny League fantasy. All I needed was like 40 yards from A-Chan last night. Couldn't do it.
He had a rough outing.
Couldn't do it.
It's been pretty good this year.
I barely pay attention to that league. I know you barely pay attention to that league.
Yeah, it's way down on my priority list.
You're 5-5. I'm 6-4.
Yeah, we're both pretty meh from the sound of it in that league.
All right,
so you
guys.
Need like three more yards.
Basically, 30, I mean, I don't know exactly, but I lost them by like a point or two. But I had a, you know, when they give you those probability charts, I had a probability of winning when the night started.
Yeah.
A terrible game last night.
Those probabilities, sometimes they mean nothing.
Right.
Those percentages.
Forgive me.
What's up with hit the skins? What's the Ricky?
I don't know. What's the lead?
Yeah. It's got to be B-Rob.
How so?
Who's going to be joining us later today here on the Junks.
I mean, I just think it's kind of critical.
9 o'clock.
Look, I like Eckler. I like him a lot. But he's not someone now that you want to give the ball to, you know, more than
in the
run game.
He's not a lead
14,
back.
15 times.
He's a really good guy that you give 8 or 9 carries to.
Yeah.
And 4 or 5 receptions, 4 or 5 targets per game. But he's... shouldn't be your lead back.
Yeah. Met his wife on Saturday night. She's very nice. She was one of the judges for the DC's Dancing Stars Gala.
She's like a reality person, right?
Yeah.
What's her deal?
I mean, she was featured on Netflix. No, she was featured on Netflix because she was a dancer with her sister and became like huge TikTok stars. And then her sister got into this cult.
All right.
Did she consult with one drab t-shirt?
Believe the Netflix special is called something like Dancing for the Devil, with the Devil.
All right.
And then they, you know, kind of like lost contact with the sister.
Let's stay away from those cults. That's my sage word of advice.
If you know it's a cult, the trick with cults is sometimes you don't know it's a cult.
Yeah, I don't think that they would call it a cult.
Right. Well...
she just has a sister who she basically lost contact with.
Unless you're listening to the band The Cult, Jason, from back in the day. They're
the
pretty
cult.
Good, kind of underrated.
All right, obviously, huge game this week, just a couple days away. Commanders now 7-3. They were coming off a 3-game winning streak, had won 7 of the last 8 before the loss to the Steelers. And, of course, the Eagles are 7-2. Game's going to be at Lincoln Financial Field. Battle for the NFC East. I'll just give you a few nuggets on the game. First of all, the Commanders, believe it or not, lead the all-time series versus the Eagles, 88-84-5. Unfortunately, Eagles have won 11 of the previous 14 matchups.
It's a pretty good streak.
They've got the better of us, you know, in the last, I guess, 7 years or so. Jahan Dotson, the revenge game for him, Cakes. We touched on that earlier, and we looked up his stats. He has 8 receptions for 98 yards. What a coup for Adam Peters to unload him.
Those are great stats for one game.
Yeah, right.
I think the big thing to keep your eye on, and Gonzalez kicked fine, but Will Siebert be ready?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
They said he wouldn't have practiced yesterday, and will Lattimore step in? Wouldn't have practiced yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think both those guys are going to be out. Good news, I think, for B-Rob. Cakes and I have a $2 bet on it. I think B-Rob's going to play, finally. He would have been a limited participant. I think they're slowly trying to bring him up to speed. They could certainly use him. Everybody talked about how they miss B-Rob.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, opposite them, you're going to be facing Saquon. And I'm going to hear Jason all week talk about how great Saquon is.
Well, he is.
he's almost at 1,000 yards.
Let me ask you this. Would you like to have him?
Sure, he's great. He's a great player.
Yeah.
But I will say
like
this:
Joe Shane would like to have him. Yeah. Brian Daboll would like to have him.
Although his numbers might be, they wouldn't be as good.
No, but they would like to have him still.
Sure.
Instead of facing him twice a year.
Sure.
Here's the thing with Saquon. I mean, I've seen all the spectacular stuff, and I think he's got he can do everything. But in our history against him, he is a bit overwhelming. In 9 career games against Washington, Barkley has rushed for 794 yards, just 4 touchdowns. He's averaging 88 yards per game.
He's had some really big games.
Yards per game,
and he's had a couple duds.
Is that
he's
just had a couple rushing, duds. Or is that
That's
rushing?
Just rushing. He also
every RB is going to have a couple duds. But I would say this: his numbers would be much better if he was playing for the Eagles that entire time.
Yeah, and also 88 rushing yards per game over a pretty big sample size that's a good number.
Okay, yeah. It's not like it's Travis Henry.
Hold on, is that four?
Not like Derrick Henry, but...
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
Yeah. I mean,
is that four total touchdowns or is that just rushing?
No, 4 rushing. He also has 4 receiving touchdowns.
Okay, so he's got 8.
And he's got 39 career catches in 9 games. So whatever that is, it's about a little over 4.2 or something catches.
It's not overwhelming.
He's fine. But again, I don't think it's not like... listen, I think he's probably going to the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he's had some sort of Hall of Fame career against us. I think Daniel Jones has played better against us. But
I just think it's been easier for teams to kind of game plan just against Barkley.
Yeah, whereas maybe we'll see a different one.
Whereas now you've got so many other weapons when he's
now Cakes. I know you're big on this kind of thing, so it's a Jahan Dotson revenge game.
I do like revenge games.
It's also a Zach Ertz revenge game.
Oh, that's right, a Zach Ertz revenge game.
He spent his first 8.5 years of his career with the Eagles.
That is correct.
Just to give you a little, back then he wasn't necessarily catching it and just falling down.
He torched the Redskins back in the day in his prime.
Right.
Because I remember seeing some games where he would be catching like 10, 11, 12 balls per game against this team.
For lifetime for the Eagles, he has 579 receptions and 38 touchdowns.
Yeah. To look at his splits.
Do you want to know the FanDuel rushing yard prop numbers that they are out.
Yes.
Of course, it's a Thursday game, so they're going to be out. Saquon Barkley, 92.5.
Ooh, that's a big number.
Jalen Hurts, 39.5.
What is the number for Barkley?
For some reason, they don't have the wash. For Barkley, it's 92.5.
All right.
That's a big total.
Player receiving yards, Barkley is... rushing and receiving yards combined, Barkley's at 110.5.
Yeah, so they're expecting a healthy game from him. Mm-hmm. Like 85 to 90 yards rushing, another 25 or 30 receiving.
Yeah.
This is the biggest game of the season, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, pretty big.
Yeah.
So far. Now, yes. It could change throughout the...
B-G-O-T-Y.
Jason's been saying that.
But it is the biggest game of the year.
I kept saying that the Steeler game was, it wasn't as big as this one. Not even close.
What I think mitigates it a little bit, though, is the next 3. Like, if you had to predict the next 4... I'm just going to be blatantly just like try to be as unbiased as I could be. Let's say the Eagles are favored by 3.5. So you say we lose to the Eagles. I mean, things don't always happen the way they should, but we should beat the Cowboys. We should beat the Titans. We should beat the Saints.
Saints, I think, is going to be a tough one just because it's on the road. Look, I mean, the Falcons struggled against them this week. I think that'll be tougher than you think. I'm not saying Washington won't win.
I would pick us in those next 3.
Probably be favored.
Yeah,
I mean, Saints game could be dicey, but they'll probably be favored.
If it played out the way it should, and it doesn't ever, but if it did, we would be
10-4.
Yeah, 10-4, then you got the Eagles, Falcons, and Cowboys to close it out.
Yeah, but the Eagles are a good team too. So having a game on them in the division and a head to head means a hell of a lot
huge.
If you're trying to win the division.
Hell
especially
yeah.
You host
the
playoff game.
Listen, you got the road game first.
The division, in my opinion, and Drav and I were talking about this a little bit. Maybe we can open up for callers later. That's like a gravy thing.
Helps your seeding though.
It does.
Right?
It
so
does.
Like right now, you're the sixth seed. You're going to face a much tougher team than if you win the division.
You would rather host the game.
Of course. But I'm still trying to take the long perspective. Like we've kind of stumbled onto this season.
I get it.
Anything we get here is great.
Because you didn't expect what was happening.
We expect to potentially win 10 or 11 games and win the NFC East.
Agreed.
It was never on my radar.
But I think since you're in this situation now, now you have to start thinking,
all right,
let's win a division and host a game.
It'd be great if we could do it, but it's gravy.
Well, the Eagles.
I know you don't like that.
The Eagles play the Commanders, obviously, Thursday. And then they play the Rams on the road and the Ravens on the road. So those are two kind of tough, especially the Raven game.
I would love to see that Raven-Eagles game. Yeah. That'll be a good one.
So that's why, you know, that could be a loss for the Eagles, which certainly would help the Commanders if the Commanders could win this.
I think we're underdogs in this game. I'll be honest with you right now. I'm going to tell you right now on Tuesday, I'm going to pick the Eagles.
Okay.
Just because I'm just still, you know, uncomfortable about it.
Yep.
But I certainly think we can win. And I know the HTC guys are going to be pissed at me.
Should be a competitive game.
But if I had to bet money on the game, I would bet on the Eagles.
Yes, I
this is
agree.
One of the few times this year that I've said that.
Eagles win.
But it doesn't mean we can't win, and I'm going to be rooting for my boys
horse.
Okay, I'll be clapping loudly.
Eagles
as
have
you should.
Washington twice. They've got the Rams, Ravens, Steelers, Panthers.
I mean, outside of the Ravens.
And then they close at home with the Cowboys and Giants.
I mean, that
those are two wins.
That is a marshmallowy soft schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a few tough spots. You said
the Steelers and the Ravens.
And the Ravens, but all those other games.
I think the Rams out there.
They're going to be favored in all of those other games.
But I think the close with the Cowboys and Giants kind of.
It's a nice landing spot.
Kind of forces Washington to sweep Philly if they wanted to win the division.
Right.
So what would you say of the next four? If you had to predict the next four, I think one of the local blogs did that. If you had to predict the next four, Eagles, Cowboys, Titans, Saints, what do we do? I'm saying we're going to go 3-1.
I'd agree with 3-1.
Okay.
3-1, huh? Yeah, I just think the Saints will be a little tougher than.
I'm going to say 2-2. They may drop one of those other.
I don't think they'll lose to Dallas or Tennessee.
Maybe we beat the Eagles. We definitely could beat the Eagles.
If they beat the Eagles, it's 3-1.
Well,
possibly 4-0.
Possibly, yeah.
Potentially.
Right. I'm not mitigating how big the game is. It is a massive game, Valdez. But I'm just saying it's gravy. That's
right,
my perspective.
Coming up later in the show, we will talk to Brian Robinson. Hopefully he'll be a participant in that game. He's going to join us coming up at 9. Next, Charles Davis, analyst for the NFL on CBS. He'll join us on the...
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The Junks. Don't forget Brian Robinson will join us coming up at 9 a.m. So you want to continue listening. Right now we're joined by Charles Davis, analyst for the NFL on CBS. He called Steelers Commanders this past weekend. Charles, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so you got to watch Jaden Daniels in person. Not his best game, 17 of 34, 202 yards, averaged about 6 yards per attempt, but he's raised the expectations and level of quarterback play here where we look at that and we're like, oh, we're expecting more. But he didn't have like the Jared Goff catastrophic game. He wasn't Sam Darnold throwing picks left and right. And we're all kind of just still amazed how good he is at taking care of the ball, you know, 10 games into his rookie campaign. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
It really is. And I think that you've hit on the major parts of why the enthusiasm should remain, because you already said it. He set a standard already in a bar in a very short amount of time that a day like Sunday, we all kind of go, right? And that's kind of, for a rookie quarterback, that's supposed to be a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And had his team in position to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that keeps impressing me about him, you hit on it, and it's a major theme of what's been a part of Washington's success this year. Because Dan Quinn came from a place and I'm going to use Seattle as the major influence because of Pete Carroll, where the term "it's all about the ball" was kind of, you know, became really popular during that Legion of Boom, you know, Seahawks time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, of course, has turned it into "ball is life" for his, you know, iteration here with Washington, which is very smart. You have your own, but you know where the roots are. But this kid comes from two programs, Arizona State, LSU, where valuing the ball was beaten into him by all of his people, right? His quarterback coaches, his head coaches, everyone else, plus his own natural instincts and inclination. But I just watched Sunday, and I'm going to stop here. There were a number of plays that go onto the sheet, right? They go into the play-by-play, and you look at them, you go, it was just a nothing play. It was a veteran play. Mm-hmm. Him grounding the ball so that there's no interception, right? Mm-hmm. Him taking the sack and making sure he's holding on to it with two hands. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He does some veteran stuff that is just off the charts and probably doesn't get enough attention just for that.
What was your take on the fourth and nine when Zach Ertz caught the ball and he was probably a half a football short?
Yeah.
I can't remember what you said during the broadcast. I when I eyeballed it, it looked like he did have the first down, but obviously they had to review it.
Yeah, and I think that's what hit us. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to put words in Ian's mouth or Evan's mouth, but I thought when he caught the ball, because I don't know if you remember, we went on after we covered it, you know, almost ad nauseum on the front end, right? We went on, and then we came back and brought Gene Steratore into it.
Yeah.
And I asked Gene, did he have the first down and then lose it as he started to make his move? I mean, I wanted to know, like, did he catch it? But because he was still moving, you don't get the full extension of it. Because you know what it's like. You get full extension of the play if it's a catch and a tackle right on the spot, and then he drives you back. You get forward progress. But when you catch it and you make that football move or move, you know, as part of the game, whatever that terminology we use, it sometimes sounds real highfalutin. But when you catch it and turn and make your move, did he catch it over the line, make his move and move his way back? And then there's the tackle from KZ and then from Fitzpatrick. That's why I wanted to ask Gene. And Gene thought that he didn't have it. Mm-hmm. See, when I thought he caught it from the first angle I saw, and again, the line was unofficial, I thought it was there. I thought he was going to get the first down. And I have not reviewed that part of the tape, but I would not be surprised if you heard my voice say, I think he got it.
Yeah, I think you did.
That was
say
my
that.
First. That was my first impression. Was I thought he had it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as you went on, I couldn't conclusively say he had it, and I couldn't conclusively say he didn't have it. And you guys know by NFL standards, and it's the right thing. What is the call on the field? That's your standard now, and you have to prove conclusively opposite that to change the call.
Charles, I'm wondering your impressions on the other side of the Steelers. When I look at the AFC. KC's undefeated. I look at the Ravens. I look at the Bills. I don't have the Steelers up there for some reason, but this switch to Russell Wilson has definitely helped them.
Yeah, it certainly has helped them, and I don't know how you guys felt, but I think there was a great feeling of you're 4-2, and you're going to keep growing with Fields, and our impression of Russell Wilson coming from Denver probably wasn't the most favorable. So I think there was a lot of consternation about that move being made, and you remember week one, they won, and remember Mike Tomlin's famous, you know, coach, wow, that took some guts to make that move. That's why I'm well compensated. You know, and since that time, they've gotten better. And what's interesting is we just talked about Jaden and his numbers weren't the best that he's had this year. Neither were Russell's.
No.
But both of them came out of that game, in my opinion, showing why they are good, great quarterbacks. Because Russell, yeah, the numbers were about, what, 50% throwing, apparently? I have to go back and look.
He was 50%. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're right.
50%. Yep.
But three touchdown passes, and that the last touchdown pass to Williams was a 3rd and 9. Okay?
And he was pressured.
And pressured, and he put it in the spot for his receiver. That wasn't a 50-50 ball.
Mm-mm.
That was a Mike Williams ball, and if Mike didn't catch it, no one else was catching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a throw. Jaden on that throw he made to McLaurin over Porter,
mm-hmm.
That wasn't a 50-50 ball. That was a Terry McLaurin ball or no ones. Those are the types of throws that tell me about these guys, and we get to see them in evidence. But Wilson has a presence with this team where this is the Russell Wilson that we knew in Seattle. And I've been telling people, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on this one. First year in Denver was not anything close to what we thought it was going to be. I thought he was too big. He couldn't get away from people. He's now let us know that there was an injury there, that I had to play through that, which is kind of a normal thing. But last year, everyone acts like that was an abject disaster. It wasn't. Go back and look. They had like a five-game winning streak. They're in playoff contention. If he takes them on the last drive in Houston, the interception in the end zone ends the game, so they have a chance to win in Houston. And if so, they're in great position. And he goes 26 touchdowns, like 8 interceptions. The bottom line is Sean Payton just didn't want to be his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's bottom line. Like, who are we kidding, right? He wanted his own guy. And so when he had the opportunity to berate Russ on the sidelines in that Detroit game on Saturday, let the world know he's not my guy, those are the impressions you take with you. Him in Pittsburgh, he's got a veteran presence. We talked to a couple of the Steelers guys. They are thrilled that he's their quarterback, and they like that veteran leadership. They like that savvy and the things that he does that maybe didn't work somewhere else. He's fit the right. He's hit the right spot for himself.
Charles, let's get back to my guys, the Commanders. Prepping for that game, after watching it play out, knowing that Jaden's got a little something he's dealing with his ribs, who knows how it's affecting his legs, whatever. The injuries they have on the offensive line, you know, what they have defensively, they got Lattimore, they got help coming, maybe not this week, but coming. How good can this team be? Like, are they legitimate playoff contenders? Are they legitimate NFC East contenders? Did the Steelers expose us in any way?
I don't think they exposed you. If anything, to me, they elevated you. Because the impression going into it was, we really like this Washington team. We like the spirit about them. We love DQ. Like, who doesn't love DQ, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't love DQ, I worry about you, right? So, you know, you like what they're doing and all, and you realize that the numbers don't always hold up compared to what we're seeing, but you like this team and you love the quarterback. But the teams that you have beaten, and what's interesting is Chicago quickly went from, wow, that's a heck of a win, to, hey, what's going on with Chicago?
Yeah.
But I have to keep cautioning people. When they played Chicago, that was a legitimate deal. So don't take that away from them. All right? They found a way to win against a good defense and a team that was playing pretty well at the time, and they kept their rookie quarterback from breaking out. But Pittsburgh, you guys know as well as I do, to use one of those often used, too frequently used analogies, now you're playing Pittsburgh, so now you're going up in weight class.
Mm-hmm.
They did, and they punched right with them. Now, stats will tell you that Pittsburgh controlled a lot of the game, but at one point, we were looking at a Washington team that had come from behind and was up 10 in the second half. So don't tell me they weren't right there and ready to roll, and they were. To me, this is one of those like Baltimore. They punched up in weight class, came away from it, not happy with how they did for a moral win, but mad that their opportunities got away. And if you just keep staying in there with those, the breakthrough will happen. This team is going to happen. They still need to add some elements. They still need a few other things. But they are well on their track. So bottom line to me this season, looking at the NFC East, this is a playoff contending team. And Thursday night, guys, let's not undersell Thursday night. It's a monster game.
Yes.
Talking to Charles Davis, analyst for the NFL on CBS. Wanted to bounce around the league with you a little bit. So one of the big stories this week is what Micah Parsons said about his head coach after the game. He said something like, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. What did you make of that? Did he cross the line? What did Charles Davis think?
I thought that Micah Parsons was saying it's different for a player than it is for a coach. The problem is they're in a position where, as you know, every word is parsed in Dallas when it comes to the Cowboys. And at that situation, you can take it in whatever direction you want. And because the Cowboys are spiraling, very easy to go straight to, you know, as Vince Vaughn would say, right to negative town. And that's where we would go. And it's understandable. They're in bad shape. the coach is in major trouble. Who are we kidding, right? This team had high expectations. They're not going to be met. Their quarterback's gone. Everything goes. But what he's saying is very simply this. A coach can, you know, we put all this time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears, and we play on the field. He's talking player perspective. Coaches can go on and do this, this, and this. He's really trying to take care of his teammates. But in doing so, let's be honest about it. Mike McCarthy caught a stray. But this wouldn't have been much of a stray if Dallas was 8-2.
Very good point. Chiefs play the Bills this week. The Chiefs have been, I don't know if you say fortunate because they're finding ways to win, but they block a field goal, 35-yard field goal to get to 9-0. And, you know, who's, is this a bigger game for the Bills or for the Chiefs, you think?
I love the word you used in fortunate, because they are somewhat fortunate. Okay, now they also have a presence of a championship team that finds ways to win, so let's not take that away from them. Mm-hmm. But there is fortune to it. Look, I was up this morning, crazy early this morning, trying to get some studying done, right? Because this brain doesn't operate very easily. And there was some stat that I can't quote to you, but you'll see it at some point this week if you analyze any Chiefs stuff. There have been, let's just use for argument's sake, there have been 100 games where a field goal attempt of 35 yards or less to win a ball game is about to happen, and this is the first time one's been blocked.
Mm.
So your use of fortunate,
yeah,
is spot on, right? Did they make a winning play? They absolutely did. But how often does that play happen, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. They find ways. Out of their 9 wins this year, 7 of them, they have come from behind. Kansas City. This is who they are right now, because you're getting everyone's best shot every week. You're the 2-time defending champs. As you go deeper into your run, you know your games get tighter. Like, if you check any run, go back and check anyone and call me. Check the Steelers when they were the steel curtain, right? Check Washington when they were at their peak under Joe Gibbs. Check all of them. The deeper you get into your run, year after year, your games get tighter. Because your key players get older that stay with you, other people add elements, and they play their you-know-whats off against you. To answer your question directly, this game is bigger for Buffalo. Because they have not solved Kansas City.
Yeah.
They've been there how many times? The 13-second game, Tyler Bass missed field goal in the playoffs. Because remember last year, oh, now you're coming to our place finally. And then you don't get it done then. With probably a team as good or better. So this is, to me, this is Buffalo. I think Troy Aikman said on air last night, like, Joe Buck kept selling the game, and every time Troy would say something, drop in a line like, yeah, Buffalo's got to solve Kansas City. Yeah, it gives Buffalo a chance to beat Kansas City. That's what this game is about on Sunday. And to me, no better shot, Buffalo. This is a lot of wins in a row for Kansas City that have come down to the wire. Tampa Bay in overtime. Block a field goal this week. 7 of 9 come from behind. You get them in Buffalo. I said it last year in the playoffs. I'm going to repeat the same line. Hey, Buffalo, if not now, when?
Yeah, and then like you said, this is huge for head-to-head too. Real quick, are you doing the Ravens-Steelers game?
We are doing the Ravens-Steelers game, yeah. We get to watch that heavyweight brawl.
That's
going to
be a big one. Real quick, got about a minute left here. Your thoughts on that matchup?
Look, it's a very strange one because it feels like the normal Pittsburgh-Baltimore matchup, but our eyes are cast towards Baltimore's defense because we're not quite sure what's going on there. You know, play like a Raven-Baltimore defense is something that you roll out of bed and it's like, you know, death taxes. Ravens are going to play good defense. They haven't. And that's been a very strange thing to watch. And they keep trying to fix it, plug it, all that. That'll be interesting. And it used to be, hey, Pittsburgh can't get any type of a shootout game. If they do, they're dead. I don't know that they're dead now with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So this is going to be a very interesting deal to see how this one plays out. Because I think it may play out just a little bit differently than we're used to with Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
Charles, thanks as always for the time, man. Enjoy Ravens Steelers. We'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, look forward to continued success to you guys, and enjoy Thursday night. I'm telling you, that may be the most watched game of the year, because I think people who watch the NFL have figured out just how big a game that's going to be Thursday.
Yep, should be a fun one. Yep. Thanks again, Charles.
Thank you, buddy.
Be good, guys.
Yeah, yep. you too, pal. Man.
Just to add to something that Charles said, the Chiefs have won four games in walk-off version this year. Mm-hmm. Four times.
I mean, it has to end at some point.
Ravens in week one.
Right.
That's the Isaiah Likely toe, right? Cincinnati Bengals in week two. He mentioned the Buccaneers, which is an overtime game. And this is the fourth time that they've won a game on the last play.
Catching the breaks.
Yep. They certainly are.
And this is a big one in Buffalo this week.
Bank local, cheer local, in business. Every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. It's not very often we talk about stories that are printed in the Wall Street Journal, but this is one of those rare times. Here's the headline of the story. It's 10 a.m. and dad's doing Jell-O shots. Must be parents' weekend. Fall tradition at colleges used to be a time for campus tours and welcome speeches. Now parents want to party at parents' weekend.
It's very true.
I mean, I went to a couple parents' weekends at the University of Maryland over the years, and I mean, I wasn't instantly just transported back to when I was 25 and just trying to get blackout drunk.
No, a lot
like
of parents
back in college,
and maybe you can include me in this on a lot of levels. It's a little different, but whatever. You can include me in this. A lot of parents look forward to going back to college and hanging out with their kids,
yeah,
and partying with them.
Yeah,
it's wild. My parents certainly didn't do that.
I went to the Scotty's Vodka tailgate a couple weekends ago, or Friday night, for the debacle against Northwestern. And it was fun hanging out with my kids at a tailgate, but it wasn't like I wasn't just drinking my face off. You know, like I went, I knew it was Friday night. I'd been up since 4 in the morning. Like, I wasn't in the mood to have 10 drinks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you weren't doing a vodka luge?
No. They had the vodka fountain there, and I was sticking my cup under it, and I was having a few drinks. I had a good time. But outside of doing the drinking show, the days of drinking like a dozen drinks for me,
where you feel like butt,
they're pretty much over.
I know.
Like those days, those are in the rearview mirror the most part.
I think this phenomenon is a newer phenomenon, and it's highly dependent on the schools.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure that has
my daughter went to NYU.
Yeah.
And situationally, they don't have a football team. Mm-hmm. They're not having like these big games on weekends. I never once went to a parents' weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there were parents' weekends that had some of this. I don't know. Part of it is I almost didn't even go into the city because she's in the city and my brother lives in the suburbs of New Jersey, not that far away, and we would just get together there. But I could see it happening in the football schools.
The football
schools
is definitely a thing.
And this article really highlights this one woman, kids at University of Arizona, and she's packing minis on the trip, and she's got hydration stuff on the trip, and she's just preparing like a 20-year-old to get hammered.
Mm-hmm. Brent always talks about at ECU when it's parents' weekend. It's one of the biggest weekends at Sup Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Here come the MILFs. MILFs on parade. Here they come. It's Brett.
Well, listen, I can tell you.
He always has the parents come and they take over the bar.
Right. It's kind of their time.
I do think it is school dependent. Like at Cornell, we don't. Let's be honest. They don't have a football team of note. They have a football team in the Ivy League, but they're not of note.
Sure.
And they don't party like they do, say, for example, at Marist, like the lacrosse program, or at, you know, maybe Maryland or something. Right. It is a little bit school dependent, but JP's hits on something. It's very, very popular for kids to go to football schools and parents. That's a good way, like Jason does. Jason's a classic example.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a negative way, which is it is what it is. That's when parents go see their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the games with
them. Bonding thing.
And then what is your kid going to be doing when they're going to go to the football game and tailgate? And so the parents go and they get all their gear and Chase is probably all in orange and and you hang out with your kids.
And then you do, there's post game tailgates.
Yeah.
Then he curses the Hokies under his breath, and then he has another drink.
Disappointing year. But no, I agree. I mean, kind of depends on who you are as a parent. I mean, I don't go crazy. I can't do it physically because, you know, I usually try and get on the road Sunday mornings early,
right?
Because I get back for Commanders games.
Right, you got to work. So Sunday's work day.
I can't just crush it on all day Saturday.
No, I hear you, get man. Pummeled I'm Saturday. The same. I
can't do
same.
It. But I have witnessed. Yeah. I have witnessed it where some of these parents are getting crazy.
Also, it's embarrassing. Like if you're a 55-year-old parent and you're just there and you're blackout drunk.
Well, that's embarrassing. I've never really seen
that. It's embarrassing for your kids.
I've never really seen that.
No, but I do feel like if you're a student at a college and your dad or mom come and they're doing a keg stand at the tailgate, your cool status kind of goes up.
Yeah, but
maybe, but I haven't seen that.
Also, like trying too hard, I feel like is.
I haven't seen that to that extent, Valdez.
Did we even have parents' weekends when we were in college?
No chance.
I mean, there's no chance my parents ever.
I don't
even remember my parents ever visiting. Now, I went to University of Maryland, so it's 30 minutes from where we lived. But I don't know that they ever visited the campus, went to a game.
They didn't need
to. They went to graduation.
You would go home and see them on weekends occasionally.
Right. Yeah.
They never came. No, my parents didn't care at all.
My parents came to parents' weekend once or a couple times when I was at Maryland.
Right.
But when they came, I was butt scared because my mom would grill me because my room would be a mess. My dad would grill me because I wouldn't be studying.
Right.
They wouldn't be slugging natty lights
like
with
fun.
Me.
Doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
My mom came to Norwich one time, which is the house where Eric and I lived. I think it was probably the graduation, you know, maybe to pick me up before heading to graduation, whatever it was. And she was mortified by the bathroom.
Oh, I'm sure she
mortified.
Was. Yeah, just the living conditions you guys were living in. You guys were living in squalor.
There was probably like an inch of film on the bathtub that had never been scrubbed.
My son's last 3 years of school, the 2 years in a lacrosse house and the third year in another smaller lacrosse house, I went into his house zero times. I had no interest. I lived it. I knew exactly what it was. An effing pigsty.
So you would have kind of looked down on him a little bit.
No, it's not that. It's just
saying, how can you live like this?
No, I didn't honestly need to experience it. I just didn't need to see what I lived. Like, I already know what's in there. It's a poop show. A complete disaster that's just awful. Like, you know. Like a crackhead would live there. I didn't need to see it.
A trap house.
Where there's no,
now, with my daughter, it's different. The girls are different. Now, they party, but they keep their rooms nice. It smells good.
They're burning like incense.
Yeah, the candles in there. You know, I go into my daughter's room, and she, you know, I could just feel totally comfortable.
Yeah.
My son's, it would be literally like a just... hell.
There could be like rats running around in the kitchen and they don't care.
Yes. Yeah. Just like what Valdez is describing. You know?
I will see. I haven't experienced it because my daughter went to NYU. Mm. Now, if my son goes to Syracuse or another big school, I'm sure I'll go to games. But my kids, at least as of now, I mean, my oldest, Kelsey, doesn't even drink and never was much of a drinker. And I don't think Dylan's going down that road either.
You've done a good job. My kids are probably all borderline alcoholics.
I mean, because you and your wife, you're not big drinkers.
No, I mean, my wife will have margaritas and I'll have a couple IPAs.
Lack of drink.
Yeah, my wife doesn't drink.
You have a couple IPAs per week.
Right.
I'm married a designated driver.
That's good for you. That's solid.
It's great.
Yeah. No, you know what? You're not going to turn into Jack Del Rio.
Jack Del Rio had to resign.
Classic case of guy, you know what? Going to, he's 61, I believe.
Yeah.
At 61, you should start being in that like mellowing out portion of your drinking phase.
He's a full-blown boozer.
He loves booze.
That's when you should be taking
a downturn. So to give the story, because you're not giving any context, Jack Del Rio has been a senior advisor at the University of Wisconsin for their football team.
Correct.
And I guess he was driving.
Luke Fickell? Is he the coach?
Yeah.
There?
Driving home Thursday night, early Friday morning, and he ran over a street sign and a fence.
We call that a Tommy horse camp.
No.
That's poor a horsey? Tommy.
That's a horse.
Now Tommy's catching a stray.
We call that a horse camp.
So he got an OWI, I guess that's what they call it.
That's what they call
operating while intoxicated.
Yeah. So he's resigned. He's done.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's shocked.
Bad decision.
No, nobody's shocked by that.
Not shocked whatsoever.
But yeah, it's
couldn't
just,
be easier these days to get a ride, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's so dumb to drink and drive.
He's just of a different generation. You know, I think young kids... I really think, I don't know this, but I would think young kids' DWIs have gone way down. because
I would
just
hope so.
They're programmed to use Ubers.
Right.
They're so comfortable with it. He's of a different generation. I'm sure he knows how to use Uber, but he's just a different generation.
I don't know if my kids ever used Uber.
Again, your kids are different. They don't drink.
Yeah, they don't have to.
So if you don't drink, you probably
No, I'm sure Kelsey has, but I don't think my son has. He's in high school.
Yeah, it's a little young. College kids are always using Uber.
My kids, I have a rule in my house is that they have to use Uber. Like, use it. And I pay for it. Believe me, they use it.
So do I. I see it every month.
You love scanning those bills.
Yeah. Why did I forget to plug my computer in?
Kind of a donkey call.
So stupid.
But I'm glad especially my oldest daughter, I'm glad she uses it.
Yeah. You'd much rather
I don't want her driving around Arlington.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's not even an issue.
Correct.
Like, yeah, if you're a young person and, you know, people drink more than they've ever. I feel like drinking.
Now, in small college towns, you can just walk to places. I mean, at Virginia Tech, you can just, in Blacksburg, you can just walk everywhere.
Well, here's the best thing about Marist. I'll recommend this to any kid that wants to go to school and just have fun. Mm-hmm. They had cabs outside all the bars. It's $3. $3 a person. And if they take you back to your dorm or your where you live, uh-huh. or your off-campus housing. And they would just, kids would just pile in the cab. They'd be 15 people. They don't care.
Solid deal.
But there's just cabs. They just wait for you.
That's smart.
They just wait for the drunkards to come outside.
I don't think I'd want to get hammered and, like this article, get hammered and jello shots and being trashed in front of my kid.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be S-faced in front of my kid. But I wouldn't be averse to a jello shooter.
But this article's talking about
it. Sounds delicious.
This article,
I can handle it.
This article is highlighting parents getting completely sloshed and trashed.
Well, that's going to happen.
Like
anywhere.
Reliving their college days in front of their kids.
Yes. I like it just a nice, constant 6-hour buzz. But not just like if you're passed out and you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No. You got to know how to handle it. You got to be a professional.
All right,
Lurch and I.
Coming up in about an hour, we'll be joined by Brian Robinson from the Washington Commanders. But coming up next, we'll do the Junkies Blitz. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.